And today is the continuation of last week where we left off speaking to you about Lot. We got as far as where the angels had stricken the men with blindness so that they wearied themselves to find a door. And Lot, he was taken inside by the goodness of these angels. And after he had been inside, the angels spake unto Lot and told him that if he had any sons or any daughters or sons-in-laws or any relatives in the city, that he should go to them and warn them and speak unto them in love. For they were sent to destroy the city. God had sent them for this purpose. Lot, he went out of his home, probably at midnight, and went to the homes of his son-in-laws who were married to his daughters. And he spake unto them and said unto them, Up, get out of this city, for God is going to destroy it. So they looked at him and they laughed at him. They mocked with what he said. They thought he was out of his head and out of his mind, because he had experienced such a tumult round about his house that evening. They thought that he was all upset and he didn't know what he was speaking about, and they did not believe what he said unto them. I said to you last week as I closed that ministers are in that particular just like Lot. They are sent to warn us that God is going to destroy this world, and that we should arise and forsake the world and return back to God, that we should do as the ministers speak unto us in love. Now, my hearers, I am sure that many of you have done the very same thing that the son-in-laws of Lot have done. They laughed and they mocked with the message that Lot brought unto them. Lot, he was sure that this was going to take place. Lot believed the message that the angels gave unto him. And these son-in-laws, they didn't have any time to consider, but they had to arise that very moment, that very hour. It was not like with the Ninevites. God sent Jonah to Nineveh, and he gave them 40 days. But here it was, arise instantly. And of course, they did not. They remained in their homes, and Lot, he had to return to his. This happens so often, my hearers, in this world, that God sends messengers, and they likewise are mocked. They are laughed at. Have you ever done that? I wonder how many would say yes. If you were truthful and honest with yourself, and if you went according to the dictates of your heart, I am sure you would say, I've done that at times. You know, we're not so honest and sincere with ourselves in this respect. My hearers, God has sent me, a feeble messenger, to teach you. And I would stand here, as Lot did, towards his son-in-laws, and I would entreat you, my hearers, to arise. Arise for your life's sake. Believe me, God is coming to destroy this world. It may be that you laugh at it, that you mock at it, but the word of God is true and most certainly shall be fulfilled. And oh, could I entreat you to flee for your life's sake before it may be forever too late. You don't know what's going to take place with you. Death may come this very evening to your home and strike you. And how shall you appear before this God? Oh, in love for your soul's sake, I would entreat you to flee while it is yet time. while the door of mercy is yet open. Are you going to despise this? Are you going to laugh it off like the sons-in-laws of Lot? Know then, my hearers, that I am free and clear from your blood. I have warned you in love. I have tried to influence you as much as the word of God gives me liberty to do so, to flee from your sinful ways and to return unto God, and he will have mercy upon you. And if you despise this and you reject it and continue to do so, believe me, you shall perish, just as everyone perished in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. My hearers, this man Lot, he returned back to his home. And when he got back home, the angels, they spake unto him and said unto him that he should arise and that he should get out of this city, for God had sent them to destroy it. Notice in this, my hearers, that angels, they are called ministers in the word of God. They are called flaming spirits at times. They are sent many times for the help and for the encouragement and for the deliverance of the saints. But they likewise are sent sometimes for destruction. Here we have two angels. They're used in this respect in both ways. Lot, he was so attached to this city in which he lived, Sodom, this righteous man who lived in the midst of these wicked people, he was so attached to this city so that when the angel spake unto him that he should arise, the scripture teaches me that he lingered. He wasn't so hasty in getting up to leave his home and to get out of the city of Sodom. Now, this teaches us a lesson, my hearers, how far it can go with the child of God, how attached they can be to the world and to the things that are in it, and even have warnings and still linger. This teaches us another lesson. There may be many of you that have had convictions of sin. You've been convicted under the ministry of the word. And these convictions, my hearers, have taught you that there is a day coming, a day when God is going to judge you and this world in righteousness. And you do just like Lot with your convictions. You trifle with them. You pass them by. Have you ever done that? I'm sure almost every person that's listened to me has had convictions of sin, and that you've trifled with them. You've passed them by. You've left them go. This is what Lot did with the message that the angels gave unto him. And believe me, my hearers, believe me, Lot himself would have perished in the city of Sodom had not the angels took him by the hand, and had not God been merciful unto him and led him out of the city. We read distinctly that the angel took Lot and his wife and his two daughters by the hand and set them out of the city. What does this teach us? This teaches us a truth, my hearers, that you and I will never leave the city of destruction until the God of heaven and earth takes us by the hand and leads us out of it. So attached are we to the world and to the things thereof. I would ask you a question. Has God ever taken you by the hand? Has he ever led you to see what you are and what this world is and what's going to become of it? And if you remain in it, what's going to become of you? Oh, there's solemn truths, my hearers. Oh, when God in mercy takes us by the hand and leads us out, that then we are given to see these things. Oh, what a wonder it is for any person to be led out of Sodom of this world. Oh, it's of the grace of God if it does take place. The salvation of every soul is of God and of Him only. Has He taken you by the hand? Has He led you out of this world? Oh, my hearers, how few. How few can give an account of such a gracious dealing to their souls as I am speaking of. Oh, this man Lot, he lingered. And believe me, every child of God knows something about this. Oh, their heart is so set upon the things of time and sense, and that if God don't make them loose from it, they would likewise perish in this world. But God takes care of every one of His children. And now we find these angels taking Lot and his wife and his two daughters and setting them outside of the city and telling them to haste and to flee to the mountains for their life's sake, and that they should not turn back or even look back while they are fleeing. And now Lot, he was afraid that if he went to the mountains, evil would befall him. And he begins to pray and say unto the angels, "You've shown such great mercy to me in saving my life and bringing me out of this city. Oh, will you not let me enter into this little city nearby? Behold, it's only a little one. May I not enter into that city?" And the angel answered, "I have heard thee in this. Go, enter into this city, and haste to get into this city, for I can do nothing except thou art entered into this city." My hearers, you remember me speaking to you about Abraham, how he entreated God for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, how that he brought it down that if there was 10 righteous people in that city, God would spare it. How different is Lot? He isn't praying for the city. Lot, he's entreating the angel for his own personal sake. He didn't entreat them to save the people in the city of Zoar. No, he entreated them that he, who was afraid to go where God had told him to go, and he thought it would be better for him where he went himself, that they would incline and be entreated so that he could enter into this city. And they gave him his request, and when he entered into this city, the sun rose up upon the earth. And as the sun rose up, and it looked like it was going to be a beautiful and a fair day, then God came upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read, and God rained fire and brimstone down upon the cities of the plain. And he overthrew these cities. First the fire came down on their homes, and then it came down on their persons. And all these people that were in these cities were consumed by the fire which fell from heaven. Hell rained down from heaven upon these sinners that dwelt in these cities. And these cities were overthrown, and everyone in it perished. These cities, they became a great lake or a salt sea, as it is to this day. It is called the Dead Sea. Fire and brimstone came down from heaven. My hearers, these people in these cities, they burned with fire and lust after each other. And God let a strange fire come down upon them. Never has it happened before, and never has it happened since, that cities were destroyed in this way, as Sodom and Gomorrah were. God showed his anger very clearly against sin. This is a monument to us to flee from sin. These cities being destroyed by fire were a type of the cities and the countries that God likewise would destroy in the course of time before the Israelitish people. It is a type likewise of the fire in hell. For hell is spoken of in Scripture as a lake burning with fire and brimstone. Oh, fit emblem, my hearers, of what sin shall lead us to. Look here, see this, where sin brought these people. See where sin will bring you and I if we continue in it. God will come in due time and destroy not this world with a flood, but with fire. Oh, may you all be filled with a holy and a reverent fear to sin against this God, who has all sorts of ways to visit people and to bring them down. And my hearers, Lot, he did not remain in Zoar. He prayed to go into that city. God spared it because it was a little one. And still he was afraid in that city. And he went and he dwelt in a mountain in a cave with his two daughters. What happened in that cave, I will not repeat, my hearers. Our lesson today is based on the 21st chapter and the 22nd chapter of Genesis. In the beginning of the 21st chapter, we read, "And God came unto Sarah and did unto her as he had promised to do." He visited Sarah at the set time. God had given Abraham a promise that Sarah in the next year would give birth to a son. And when Sarah heard this promise being repeated by the two angels that destroyed the city of Sodom, she laughed in her tent. And God said, "Is there anything too hard for me?" We see here that God fulfills his word, that he keeps his promises. He is faithful who has promised. They received a son in their old age. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 when she was given to give birth to this son. And they call his name Isaac, which means laughter. My hearers, I believe that every time they looked at this child, they seen in that he was a gift from God. God works through seemingly impossibilities. They had a promise, and they tried to work out the promise themselves. Sarah says, "Take my handmaid and enter into her, for that's the way we only can have children." But God had said that she was going to have a child. She did not believe the promise. Unbelief was in her heart concerning what God had spoken. But God came and gave unto them this son. How wonderful he must have been to them. How they looked at him. How they showered all their love and affection upon this child. And looking at him, they could thank God that he had given unto them this young son. Oh, my hearers, there may be some of you who have had a promise years ago. God has spoken to you in love and mercy and given unto you a promise that in due time he will reveal his dear son Jesus in your hearts. And time has gone on, And you probably are not even exercised with the promise. You probably have forgot all about the promise. But God, who has given it, is faithful. And it will go just like it did with Sarah and Abraham. They were beyond the age that they could have children. And they had no expectation anymore that it would be fulfilled. And so it may go with the promise that God has given unto you. God works through seemingly impossibilities, I said, and that's true. Oh, when it becomes an impossibility on our side, when everything is gone and everything seems to come to an end, then it is that God appears and God works this great wonder in fulfilling the promise that he has given unto your soul. And my hearers, this Isaac, he then was a son of promise. And now we find that Abraham, likewise, he showered all his affection upon this son. And we read that Sarah, she gave unto this son suck. She nursed him. This nursing Isaac is a type, my hearers, of each child of God born again. Whenever God gives a new birth in a person's soul, that person, if he's 90 or 100 years old, he becomes a babe. And he comes to lay just like Isaac did at the breast of Sarah. He comes, or she comes, to lay at the breast of the Word of God. And they then begin to suck nourishment out of the Word of truth. They come under the means of grace. Their hearts are open. Their ears are open. And they receive faith to believe what God is giving unto them. And all my hearers, what a blessed time that is when you are a babe. Oh, how God dandles his children upon his knees. Oh, how he speaks so comfortably to them and encourages them when they are first upon this way. And oh, what life and what feeling they have when they come in secret before God in prayer. Oh, when they come under the means of grace. They're not dead hearers. They're not sleepy individuals. All their ears are open. They're listening to see whether anything will fall for their immortal souls. Oh, they are hungry and thirsty after the Word of God that they may grow thereby. Oh, what a blessed time that is, my hearers. You ever know anything at that time? You ever have a time like that? When everything was light, when everything was feeling? Oh, when you went up to the house of God with joy? And my hearers, what do we read now? The time came that Isaac had to be weaned. And the day that Isaac was weaned, Abraham gave a great feast. You know, my hearers, if you have had children, you know what it is when you wean your child, if you gave it the breast. You know you do that by degrees. Gradually, you take the child away from the breast and you begin to give it a bottle, or you begin to give it stronger nourishment so that the child may grow stronger, for it needs stronger food. And now God in his infinite mercy brings every one of his children into a time when he begins to wean them. And that isn't such a pleasant time for the soul, believe me. Oh, when you come into that time, then you find that all that life, all that feeling, all that enjoyment that you had while you were a babe is dried up. You don't find that in that anymore. You come to the same means, you use the same prayers, you go to the same place, but there isn't anything there. It seems to have all gone. You're all dried up yourself. And now if you should speak to one that's in that position, who's being weaned, Or you would hear him say, or she say, I don't know what's the matter with me. I can't believe that what I passed through was of God anymore. Oh, I wonder whether it was true, whether it was God's work in my heart. Oh, it's all gone now, and now I don't know what to think of myself. You know, it says here that Abraham made a great feast when Isaac was weaned. And I believe there wasn't anybody that cried the longest and the loudest than Isaac when he was weaned. He was taken off the breast. If you've had children, you know that's true. And if you could follow one of these souls that's being weaned by the hand of God, you could go in secret and listen to it. All the groans, the sighs, and the cries that you would hear come up out of their hearts. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to make of it anymore. You ever been there? All my hearers, I wish every one of you knew something about what I'm talking about. I hope I'm not talking to some people that don't know anything. Oh, I've been there, my hearers. And oh, you don't know where it's going to end either. You can't believe that the work is of God anymore. No nearness, no access, no liveliness under the truth. And oh, you sit like a stock in a stone many times under the word. And you wonder where it's all going to end. Oh, to be weaned, my hearers, isn't a very pleasant experience. But you know, Isaac had to be weaned so that he would be able to receive stronger nourishment. You know, when God converts a sinner, then God begins to wean that person away from the world, away from his former companions, away from the things where he used to enjoy himself in. He can't go along with those things anymore. That's another weaning time. But when this weaning time takes place, my hearers, then the soul begins to think that it's all lost, and it's all wrong, and nothing ever good will come of it. But then it pleases God in his infinite mercy to come again and visit that soul and reveal this precious Jesus in his word, by his spirit, as the true meat and true drink of eternal life. All this is strong food, strong meat, for those that feel themselves to be perishing sinners. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if God has weaned you and given you to see and feel your necessity of this precious Jesus, that without him, with all that you experienced, you will be forever lost. Oh, to be brought away from making ground out of your feelings, out of your prayers, out of your hearing, and to find the ground of your salvation in Jesus and in his perfect righteousness. This, my hearers, is what God does in love when he weans his children. And now we find the day that Isaac was weaned, they had a feast. Commentary says, upon this day, Ishmael, the son of Hagar, he began to mock and make fun of Isaac. Now, Ishmael was somewhere around 14 years of age, and Isaac was only 3. So he was playing with Isaac, a little babe, you would say, and he was mocking it. What he said, what he did, Scripture does not say. But Sarah, beholding Ishmael mocking her son, she became angry. You know, Hagar, this Egyptian handmaid that had been married to Abraham and had given birth to Ishmael, she once before had become angry with Sarah because Sarah dealt very hardly with her, and she fled away into the wilderness. And God found her in the wilderness by a fountain of water. And God spake unto her and said, Return unto thy mistress Sarah. But now Sarah, she speaks unto Abraham and says unto him, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for this bondwoman and her son will not be heirs as with our son Isaac. And now this was a grievous thing unto Abraham. He was married to Hagar. It was his son. And to cast these people out of his house, you may imagine that many thoughts were running through the mind of Abraham. He couldn't see his way clear to do something like that. And now what happens? During the night, God comes to Abraham and says unto him, let it not be grievous unto thee, Abraham, but do as Sarah has commanded thee. Cast the bondwoman out with her son, for he shall not be heir with your son Isaac. Look, where two wives brought Abraham. He had been in trouble before, and now he's in trouble again. And now God is so good that he comes to Abraham in his troubles. I think it's remarkable that God entered into this case and that God spake unto Abraham. For he couldn't see his way clear to do something like that. But now when God revealed his mind and his will in this case, it cleared Abraham's conscience. And when he arose in the morning, he sent Hagar and the boy Ishmael out of his house. He gave her a bottle of water and some bread, and he sent them out on their way, probably to the land of Egypt, for that is where she came from. Now when you read this, you think, is that all that he gave to her? He just gave her a bottle of water and some bread. That wasn't much. That was meager fare. But the commentary says he must have done this according to divine direction. Surely he would never send his wife and his child out into a wilderness just with a little water and bread, where he was rich, Abraham, and he had plenty. But he must have done it because God had given him the direction to do so. And now we find that Hagar, she loses her way. She's wandering in the wilderness of Beersheba. And where she lost her way, the water in the bottle was spent, their provisions were gone, and Ishmael, he became sick. So sick and so faint that she looked at him and she thought, surely he's not going to live. So she took him and she laid him under some shrubs, and she went and sat a little ways away from him to watch, for she says, let me not see when he dies. She expected then that her son Ishmael would die. A pitiful case. A very pitiful case, my Hebrews. And God in heaven, he sees when we are in distress. He sees our circumstances. He saw Hagar and her son in this wilderness. And now he had spoken unto Hagar when she had been in the wilderness before, when she was alone by this fountain of water, that she was with child, and that she would give birth to a son, and that she should call his name Ishmael. The first time we read in the Bible that God gave a person a name before he was born. She was to call him Ishmael. And God said he would be a great man. He would be a wild man. And his hand would be against every man. And every man's hand would be against him. Here he is, about 14 years old. He's laying under a shrub and she thinks he's going to die. She ain't thinking about the promise that God gave her. She ain't thinking about that meeting that God gave her when she was standing by this here water fountain. It was such a wonder to that woman when God met her there. You know, she says, have I looked after him that has looked after me? And she named the place where she had been. Thou God seest me. And now here she is in the same circumstances, and she forgot probably completely all about what she experienced before. Oh, she's a type, my heroes, of you and I. You know, former mercies, former benefits, they do not help us when we are in trials and when we are brought low. Then we need to be helped again. And we see here that Hagar, she sat a little ways away from this boy, and she was weeping. And God came with an angel and spake unto her again. What aileth thee, Hagar? Arise, take up the lad. For I have promised to make of him a great nation. The promise is again renewed. And then he opened her eyes, and she seen a fountain of water nearby. And now we find that she gave him to drink, and he became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Beersheba. Ishmael, he lived with his mother. And his mother, she took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And now this man, Ishmael, he became a great nation. A very great nation. And the promise and the word of God is still being fulfilled to this day, where God had said that he would be a wild man, and that his hand would be against every man, and every man's hand against his. To this day, my hearers, these people are what God has spoken of Ishmael. Who are they? They are the Arabs. They are a plundering band of people that go through the desert. Whenever they see a caravan of people going through the desert, they pounce on it. They take everything they possibly can from this caravan. And just as fast as they come upon the caravan, just as fast do they disappear. They cannot find them. They don't know where they go to. Rulers, emperors, for ages have tried their utmost to rule out these people and to bring them under subjection and have somebody set over them and rule them. And they never could. Not to this day yet, my hearers. The word of God is so true in their respect. No one can subdue these Arabs and bring them under their ruling. Now, they are a people, just as God said, a wild people. And their hand is against everybody's. They don't care who you are or what you are. And everybody's hand is against them. For everybody is in fear of them when they travel through deserts where they are. God then, he fulfills his word, even in this respect concerning the Ishmaelites. And now, my hearers, we find that Abraham, he is going to be tempted by God. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, we find that God comes to Abraham and tempts him and says unto him, take thy son, thine only son Isaac, and offer him up on one of the mountains that I will show unto you. Oh, my hearers, God never tempts anybody to sin. And believe me, if God has commanded Abraham to offer up his son, and he had done so, he had not sinned. He had done as God had commanded him. God's commandments are just. They are holy. They are righteous. And now we find this man, Abraham, he was in a wonderful state for his soul. You know, he had faith in exercise. He did not reason with flesh and blood. For if he did, he would have said first, what, does God want me to be a murderer? Does God want me to murder my only son? The son that he gave me? The son of promise? The son out of which the Messiah must come forth?
He didn't reason this way, my hearers. Faith accepts what God speaks. Faith is obedient to what God says. This man, Abraham, he had so many reasons not to do it. He could have made so many excuses, legal excuses, and still he obeys God. This man, Abraham, probably received this at night. And when he arose up in the morning, he immediately sets in order to do what God told him to do. He gets wood, and he gets fire, and he takes his son, and he takes his servants with him, and off he goes. He don't say anything to Sarah about this. He don't tell her what God had revealed to him, because probably she would have stepped in and said, no, you're not going to take my son. But he didn't say anything to her. And away he goes. It was a 3-day journey before he got to this mountain. And all who knows what went on in the mind of Abraham in those 3 days. But he was steadfast. Or he held on to God by faith. And he believed, according to the apostle's own words, that if he had slain him, God was able to raise him up from the dead. Now what Isaac said to him and how he answered him, my time being gone, we will continue from this point, the Lord willing, next week. That's all for today, my hearers.